When you guys talk to the mics, just make sure you
speak up
in dubbed, the microphone. Yeah. In the microphone.
Yeah.
There it is. Adjust that one out a little bit.
So welcome to another edition of La Clica Podcast. We are here with Long Beach natives, Sloka.
All right.
Hey, all right.
In the LBC, somewhere in the LBC. We didn't get shot when we got here, so we're good.
Yeah, we're good.
We're all good.
We'll hear a siren, I'm sure.
I'm Joel.
I'm Bago.
Rick.
And let's start off with the singer. I'm Go on ahead and introduce yourself, brother.
Chris, known as Left Coast.
Tony, guitar.
I'm Colin. I play drums.
And I'm Eric Sketch Hans. I play bass.
All right. Awesome. All right, awesome. Nice. Great to finally have you guys here. I saw you guys at Malone's and I saw you guys at the Whiskey, and you guys threw a hell of a show.
Yeah.
Hell
you,
of a performance.
Appreciate that.
Very, very good to see that style, you know, still out there floating around with, you know, all the new stuff that's been coming out. It's just, you know, it's always good to go to a show and still have somebody that's still down with the grassroots and whatnot. So tell us about yourselves and when you got started and how you guys came to point.
Okay.
Know, to this point.
It's a long story.
It's a long story. Short.
Story time.
Story time with Tony Sloka. I guess it was around the end of 2001, probably. We were under another name, me and my brother and another guy at the base. And we kept getting hit up to be, you know, are you that band from so-and-so and that band? I'm like, no, we're not. So we changed the name. We're like the name game, you know, Winchell and the Donuts. You know, it's a ridiculous thing to try and figure out what to call yourselves. And he said,
Sloka.
Why not call it Sloka? Because that's not a word. Nobody's going to ever use it. It doesn't exist. So, okay. And it's...
At least we thought.
At least we thought, right. The long story short of the name thing was it's Alienation TV show. The cop's interviewing an alien, and he's like, says the word Sloka, S-C-H-L-O-O-K-A, and he interprets it as stripper or slut or something.
Stripper.
Yeah.
Alien Nation, wow.
Yeah, right. That's how old we are.
That was a great show, man.
Right, right. We are old school, yeah. Right there. So, you know, it was one of those things where, like, you know, the codes, you know, is it Sausage Fest or is there Slokas, you know, blah, blah, blah. So,
yeah, right.
So the name was like, who's going to use that? It's not a name. It's not a word. It doesn't exist, you know? So we did that for a while. And the first album was out like 2001, 2002. And then we did one in 2003. Third album, we came out and Google had happened and all that internet. And somebody Googled the word S-L-O-K-A. And we found out that it's actually a real word.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's Tibetan Sanskrit for prayer.
Yeah, or a poem.
All right. Yeah.
So if you like Google the word S-L-O-K-A, you'll have thousands of pages of prayers.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we'll take that instead. These days, we'll kind of go with that.
Yeah. Wow. Much more into that spiritual side of things. So that's kind of the basics of how it all, you know, came to be as far as the beginning of it all.
What other bands did you guys play with, if you could name them?
Before that?
Or no, you know,
yeah, before Sloka began. Oh. Well, you guys were playing with other bands?
Well, we had something, me and him were doing something called Gunther Stone, which was like this Americana country thing, bluesy, rootsy, right. You know, whatever. That was a lot of fun. Prior to that, I don't know.
But we've always been playing in bands.
Since
and,
we were kids.
Metal,
so.
Whatever you want, you know, punk, all of that stuff.
Jams, punk, funk, metal, you know, blues, whatever. We played all, so.
Nice.
Grew up listening to jazz, so we, you know, got into the progressive shit, too. So.
Oh, nice.
Right on.
Nice.
So, everybody's from the LBC?
Well, me and him are.
I'm from Covina. Actually, I'm originally from Chicago.
Oh, wow.
So he's an HB now.
Yeah, I live in Huntington Beach now.
Wow. That's the greatest place on earth if you haven't already found that out.
It's the greatest place with the worst weather.
Yeah.
I've been out here since 2005, so.
Awesome.
Did you play another group? Well, what bands did you play with?
Actually, the first band I was in, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Victory Records at all.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I just saw your judge jacket.
I was in Even Score, which is Tony Victory's band, for many years. And then grew up in the Chicago hardcore scene. And then when I moved out here, I was in a band called Amendment 18.
All right.
And then just recently, I played 2011-12, I played with Outspoken Orange County Hardcore. We did a European tour, a full 30-day run, headline tour out there. And then things got a little dicey and just kind of retired for a while until I got the call from Tony here. And it's been fun ever since. I'm having a great time with the boys.
That's awesome. Yeah, we're we're very familiar with the Victory Records movement back in the late 90s. I mean, we used to go to the Whiskey all day. We used to ride the bus from, you know, mid-city LA all the way to the Whiskey, you know, to see bands like Earth Crisis and Hatebreed and Bloodlit, you know.
I've got a Snapcase tattoo on my back.
Oh, yeah. Snapcase.
On your caboose?
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. It's the Body Goes Numb Tribal right in the middle of my back.
Nice.
So,
awesome.
Yeah, I grew up in that hardcore scene, very prevalent, and to this day, like, I think there's been talk of us doing a reunion and all that stuff.
That would be great.
We'll see what happens. You know, Victory's pretty volatile.
Yeah, one of my favorite Victory bands was Rabies. Or I'm sorry, Cause for Alarm with the singer Rabies. Yeah, that was grassroots punk, man. That was an awesome band.
They were. He definitely paved the way with so many amazing bands that were not just were huge into culture and set the bar for just what hardcore was in the 90s and the 2000s.
Most definitely. You know,
but most of those guys are still very lifelong friends of mine, and it's one of those things, when you're in, you don't get grandfathered out. You're just kind of, it becomes part of you. You're a 40-year-old hardcore kid.
Yeah.
And I'll be a 50-year-old hardcore kid. It just kind of was there.
And you know what? It's a shame that, you know, that movement kind of, you know, just kind of evaporated, you know, and it was so strong when it hit.
Oh.
And it was inspiring to, I know, us and to many others. When it kind of just went away, it was like, what the fuck, man? Yeah. But luckily, you know, you got bands like Hatebreed that, you know, kept it strong, and Hatebreed still, you know, it's like Hatebreed to me is, you know, to Victory Records what Slayer has been to thrash. You know, carried the torch along the way.
I mean, it's you know, bands like Agnostic Front and Madball still paved the way, even when they're in their late 40s and 50s. And these guys, you know, you can't, you know, Roger's right. You can never trust a hardcore kid that doesn't listen to punk rock. It's an absolute fact. Punk rock is the basis for everything, and I'm having more fun now than I ever have in the last 25 years playing, because I love the guys, and the music is fun. There's no drama. I don't have to worry about who's with who or who's playing what show, and we get on the shows, we get on stage, have a blast, and enjoy each other for the music, and that's, at our age, at this point, that's what it's supposed to be.
Right,
it's very just as pure it was when I feel like when it started.
And you know what? And all that comes through when you guys perform. I mean, you guys, you know, brought that intensity. The first time I saw you guys at Malone's, I was like, fuck. You know, I was actually there to see another band, you know, and I heard you guys on the second stage, and I'm like, well, let me see what the hell is going on over here. And I'm like, fuck yeah. Finally, I get to see a band that's, you know, keeping it real.
Lots of high energy.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, there's no pretentiousness. I don't give a shit. I'm just playing and getting off, and if you get off, great. You know, I'm going to have a good time, and getting off with these guys is, like, totally easy to do and fun, like he was saying. It's just, so there's no, I don't know, that stuff is that, you know.
The chemistry definitely, you know, came through there, so.
It's kind of like a living organism that just keeps going and evolving. It can't ever be, it's got to be this way or it's got to be this way. There's no ABCs to it. You know, whatever kind of happens. I mean, you saw it even at the Whiskey show. You know, we had a couple things that went on, but we still made the best of it and had an absolute blast.
Bass drum pedal, bro.
We both saw that.
You know, you can either get really mad and show them that, oh man, I really, well, no, it's not what it's about.
Just
it's about
them
having
out
a good
with
time.
The floor, the floor tom.
Yeah, I saw it. But you know what? You kept it going. And you know what? Many others, unless you know what's going on, or you're in a band and you know things and whatnot, everybody was just, nobody had a clue.
Yeah.
No, nobody had a clue.
Yeah,
that's a true professional right there.
Yeah.
I mean, this dude, man. Chris is a ridiculous drummer in his own right. It's absolutely mind-boggling watching him play. So it's having him in front, and he gets it, and he understands the energy where it comes from the back, and that feeds through to, you know, the rest of us through when we play shows or even when we rehearse. I mean, I look forward to coming to rehearsal. It's not a job. It's like, okay, I get to rehearse today. That's a great thing.
Yeah, you gotta have fun with it, man. When you start getting very meticulous with it, and it's gotta be this way, and it's gotta be that way, it just takes the fun out of it, and it becomes work rather than, you know, a good time.
Right.
No, that's totally understandable. How did you guys like opening up for the Dickies?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah. I mean, it was packed.
So much energy. Yeah.
And there was a ton of energy. Of course, Chris starts getting loose, and then then we as a band start getting loose too, and the crowd, they respond, react to it, and then it starts getting more and more, and so you can see it through the set, as you start getting it, like song 3, 4, 5, you know, the crowd really starts to get it. You know, they get that, hey, this is rock music that's got a punk that's got a real punk flavor to it, and you can't you know you can't not get into it when you're there. I mean we've played in front of, you know, a bunch of different styles of crowds, and everyone is like, you know, they get it. So
I'll tell you, when you guys played that song Remnants, and you know, I know it, you know, I played at the Whiskey before, so I know how it sounds when you're up on stage. You know, you got to keep it low volume and whatnot, but outside, it just is like, fuck, dude, this is a fucking punk show. I mean, it was like, and everybody's like, fuck, man, you know, that's what you want to hear at a punk show. Some opening riffs that way, and you know, the bass line that you played throughout the song is just, it's very fitting. You know, it's a well composed song. So, guys like me appreciate it, and it was fucking great. It sounded awesome, you know, out in the crowd. So, good stuff.
Yeah, we try and do.
So for a you know, for our listeners out there, I haven't heard you guys describe your sound, man. What do you guys, you know?
I have always described it as high energy rock with a punk tude. I don't know that it classifies. I don't know what punk is. You know, I have no idea. I don't know if it's a clothing brand or what. But for me, what punk was for me since whenever,
it was a movement.
It was just an attitude. Now the early Stones, when they were like, "Fuck you to everybody," that's punk. We're going to do what we want. They played a bunch of songs at 45 speed, which is what turned me on to like playing shit fast. As a kid, I'd actually go take a song and put it on 45 speed and listen to it, because I was like turned on to these other bands that were way before my time doing that. They'd play some really old blues song. It goes like this. And they're going, nah. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I would put songs on 45 speed and I got off. And then I would go find who's doing that.
Right.
So it was always this energy thing. It was just about the energy. That's all. I, you know, there's some shit I liked it and some shit I don't. But our sound is, I don't know, skate punk, old school punk. I mean, I think it's easier for somebody else to tell me what they think it is than for me to tell you.
Right on. Nice. Right on. Is there a fucking spider on you, dude?
No.
It's a black one.
Yeah, this house is called Spider House.
You got me there, man. You got me, dude. I used to have nightmares about spiders, man.
Fuck, man. I can't stand fucking black widows. I hate the way they look. That big fat ass that they got. Oh, fuck.
They're out here, too.
Yeah, there's some over here.
Fuck that. When we grab this table to move it, I'm like, oh shit. And they're like, hey dude, those white puffy spiky balls, those are fucking eggs. I'm like, ah.
Oh, they put you together right there, dude. They really did. They knew it was going to get you, man.
Yeah. I kid you not, I'm fucking like breaking a sweat here, dude.
The spider cast, people.
Yeah, man.
I noticed you talked about blues and jazz, man. Is that something that played a big role in getting into the kind of music you got into?
In my life as a musician, yeah, because, you know, we grew up with our parents listening to this stuff. We heard it every day on the old jazz station they had on the radio. And
because that jazz was, back in the day, was, you know, was punk, you know, it was, you know, kind of taboo, you know.
Yeah, it was.
Because I'm a jazz buff myself.
Oh, okay. Well,
so, like, I always think about that whole movement and how it actually progressed into that.
Right.
Same speed, same mentality.
Sure.
You know, so that's what
all I raw. Yes. And, you know, off the cuff, you know, sure.
Doing things, you know, they don't care if it, you know, this gets me off, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So that was part of what it was, you know. I mean, we got all these albums in the garage and, you know, stashed. So, you know, it was just that kind of a thing of, well, this is getting me off. I like this. And if it, somebody else gets off on it, cool. But, you know, it works for me.
And that's why, like, on stage, what I'm doing is I'm getting off, man, by these songs, you know.
Right on.
It's just getting me going. So,
right on. Freaking awesome, man.
Yeah. who's the primary composer, or do you guys all chip in?
Well, to this date, the songs are me and my brother, pretty much, you know. Just, I don't know, we just riffs and ideas and lyrics, and we, you know, what works, and...
Yeah. Well, it's definitely working, and you guys got some pretty good, like, harmony and melody, for instance, in that song Life.
Yeah.
It's perfect. It's a good blend, a good mix, you know. And that's a well composed song. I'm at the fucking market, and I'm like, you know, fucking grabbing all my groceries to the tune of your song, like,
now that's cool shit.
That's what we want to hear right there.
You know?
Okay, more of that, okay?
Yeah.
That's what we want to hear from.
Oh, yeah.
the feedback that we've gotten the last couple of shows has been really good. I mean, you know, we got out of the whiskey, and I'm walking upstairs, and I'm walking towards the bar to get a water, and there's people like high fiving me and stuff, you know, and I'm just like, after the show, you're just so, you know, pumped.
Oh, you're so drained. Yeah.
Once you stop, you don't know what to do with all the adrenaline, So. Yeah, so I'm walking around, people like, yeah, man, when are you guys going to play again? High fives. And,
that's when you know you're doing a good job, man.
With the shows now, too, is, you know, the days of the three-band shows are gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, we play a lot of shows where it's six, seven, eight bands. Yeah. And, you know, to keep everybody, you know, ingrained in making sure they stay in the place, it's, you got to have that, you have to bring that energy, because it's not easy for... You know, as a fan, when you go to a fest, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
It's 11:30. I came to see this band because they got picked to open today, and now, you know, Priest is going on at 9:45. That's a long time to be able to have to watch all these different genres and different bands. So to get people's attention, I think that energy and everything's got to come through. And it's got to be genuine either. It can't be faked. Oh, it's extremely important.
Most definitely. What what era of music to you was the most important? In your generation.
Wait, what? For my generation?
Mm-hmm. Let's go with the 70s.
I don't know what you're asking me. What do I think in my generation is the most important time frame of music?
Of music, yeah.
I don't know if I can even keep that simple. So I'll let somebody else answer that one.
I said the 70s.
Probably the metal years when it really started to... Because like those metal years were a culmination. You were coming off of the punk era... And then, you know, the heavy stuff with, like, you know, Ozzy and, you know, Dio and, you know, coming in, the biggest guitars that were ever played were during that time. You know, I mean, there was nothing as big as that era, you know, as far as the bands that came before, like Led Zeppelin and you saw, you know, that whole 70s rock era come into punk rock and then the metal that, you know, that whole... time period was going off, punk rock, metal, 70s were still good. I mean, and so that kind of probably was like a 6 or 8 year run when all the bands were playing all at one time and they were all still good. Black Flag was still good. You had, you know, Henry Rollins was just, you know, really, you know, in his groove for his first 10 years. And so that kind of, that was overlapping the metal years, you know, that kind of that era. And so, like, that's what I think. I mean, there was just so much going on. Whereas prior to that, it was tough because, you know, like, we were all growing up on 70s heavy rock, you know. And, of course, you know, prior to that, it wasn't as heavy. But yeah, once that, I think that era was just amazing, you know, because there was just so much going on.
Right on.
I have to say, for me, probably not my era, but my mom introduced me when I had a very young age to, you know, Iron Butterfly, Cream, stuff like that. Nice. She was very much into that era and introduced me into music, and then slowly you started listening to Billy Squire, and then you listen to that 70s arena rock, which today, still for me, the first Boston record is absolutely flawless. You know, and it's big arena rock, but I mean, you listen to the musicianship on those albums and they're absolutely ridiculous.
Right on.
You know, and then you're 14 years old and you get a Germs record.
Yeah.
And Agnostic Front comes through and your mom, you know, and you listen to, you know, the old Revelation stuff before Victory came out. And it's like, my mom said, you know, oh, these guys don't do any drugs? Oh, okay. Well, you know, that's cool. And then, you know, then you get that Youth of Today 7-inch and then you're all in. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I was very fortunate. My mom introduced me to music at a very young age. And I think it's just something that it's her legacy that.
She had a record collection.
Right. Dude, I have all of them, and it's, you know, first editions of all the Doors were her favorite. I mean, like, for me, one of the places she always said play the whiskey, and I never got to, except for that show that I played with these guys. So that meant something really special to me
because of Doors.
Because, you know, that was one of the places, like, growing up in the Midwest, you hear about this famous place where all these amazing bands played, and then, you know, at 45 years old, I get to share the stage with these guys, which meant so much to me. So it's something I'll cherish forever.
Like me and Sketch, we grew up together. We skated, you know, we were just youngsters, you know, listened to all that kind of music, our mixtape back then in the boombox while we were skating.
Yeah, but we had this crew of kids when we were growing up. We were all into music, you know. I mean, like, Tony was like one of the older kids.
Yeah.
And then Chris, myself, and we probably have, I don't know, 20 or 30 other kids that ended up being musicians and playing a lot. And so it was really cool growing up like really young and sharing music, like, you know, at that young of an age, and now doing it now, okay, at 50, you know, with these guys. And like you said, and ripping off a set like this, I mean here I am 50 years old, and I mean that set was, it was a blast.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was killer,
you know. And yeah, so
you grew up in the perfect era, though.
Yeah,
you had a lot.
We kind of did because you're coming off of like the Beatles and like all that, you know, and you're starting to get, you're really young, you know, and then the real heavy rock started happening,
the metal,
you know,
just
and then you know,
just kicking your teeth in, you know.
Yeah. And we went to all the shows. I mean, you know, I had been to, you know, the Vex and the Starwood and you know, I saw, you know, Devonshire Downs with, you know, with Henry Rollins and Black Flag on his first show.
Godzilla.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, Godzilla. So, you know, and we were like the only core kids around, you know, we didn't have, but maybe a 5 or 10 guy crew, you know, all skaters and punkers going to all the shows all around, you know.
What skateboard did you have?
One didn't I have? I had Smith, Dwayne Peters, yeah. You know.
I mean,
so we were real, you know, yeah, and we were skating a lot.
Yeah. Vision. I used to have a Vision. Yeah, had a Vision.
Skater.
Yeah. I grew up in the like Ray Barbie, fucking, you know, nice. Lance Mountain, Bones Brigade.
The Lance Mountain Hieroglyphics is one of the best boards ever.
I had a Psycho.
Speaking of skates. Pope Skates.
Oh, Pope
All right.
Skates.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not grind.
There you go. That's a badass hat, bro.
You like that's a one-off. You can't get one of these. Sorry. But yeah, a friend of ours, Lance.
School friends.
Yeah, Lance skater. Pope. He started a company, what is it now, 2 years ago?
Yeah,
we were talking on the, we were at Vans HB Skate Park and we were standing there and he told he was going to start a skate company. We're like, oh, okay. And Chris comes, you know, we were talking about just like slogans and stuff like that, and Chris comes up with a slogan, you know, thou shalt grind.
Yeah.
And we're like sitting there rolling around the skate park going, that's freaking amazing, you know. so that's now his slogan to his company, his skate company, Pope Skates.
That's
awesome,
man.
Shout out to them.
That's fucking
awesome. And he's an amazing designer, so if you guys go out, you'll always be stoked on his graphics, because he's amazing designer. So anyway, and he's got a limo.
One of the things that was cool is we got to do that Skate and Destroy Cancer show in San Diego.
YMCA. Very nice. Skate park.
I skated for a while, and I went into other things. These guys kept skating, but to play a gig where these fucking guys are doing shit.
All the pros.
Right in front of
you. Yeah, so 91X stage in front of a bowl.
In front of,
okay, and then they're having
contest.
They're having a best trick contest right in front of us. They're giving out $200. So here's like all these pros are like ripping right in front of us.
Really?
Hosoi comes up to us. He's like, man, that's the stuff I love, man. He comes after our set and he's like, you guys were great. And we're like taking pictures with Hosoi, you know. He's a cool guy.
Cool. Yeah, I had one of those swap meet skateboards. And I used to
tape
the magazine graphics on there. I couldn't afford it.
But you did it though.
Yeah.
Damn straight you did it. Yeah, for sure. That was the best thing.
I've made my own deck before.
Yeah. I learned it from that movie Thrashing. You draw the big spider on there. That's where I learned my shit from. You spray can and a marker.
My mom ran over my cycle.
My Brad Bowman Sims freaking 10 inch got ran over, and that was just like
those old decks. I got a stack of them on my dad's. I got all the old Gators, Tommy Guerrero, a stack of broken ones.
Peralta's in there.
It's a nice thing they're actually bringing them back as reissues now.
You know what? I love the fact they're bringing the big wheels back. Yep. A lot of guys are skating
big
with
wheels,
the rails on the side.
Yeah.
You know,
I got some mini cubes. I got some brand new mini cubes.
It's crazy to me at 45. I see, you know, my lady, her kids, you know, they go to school and there's a rack for their skateboards. When I was going to high school, we had to hide it because it literally would not allow my skateboard inside the school. I had to get a bag and stuff it in there, and it's amazing now that the culture is not you know, something that's they flick their nose at anymore. Yeah, it's like completely accepted.
We used to wear duct tape around our shoes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
Duct tape and shoe glue. Oh, yeah. Best things on the way.
I always had it all scratched on the side.
These shoes everywhere. Need duct tape really bad. But, you know, they're just like loungers now. But, you know.
Yeah.
But back in the day, if I'm using them all the time, they'd be.
Yeah. Yeah. Go through shoes like nothing. Yeah.
You could always tell a skater, man, because he always had the left, either the right or the left.
Yeah. Yeah. All grind it down.
Yeah. You know?
I think the best skate shoes were the Air Jordan 2s.
Oh, wow.
Because they
wow.
had that ollie pad, and you could put shoe goo over them, and then a little bit of tape, and they lasted forever. Or the old Converse Cons with the big tongue. Yeah. Those things were the best.
Yeah, it's cool that the skate community, though, is still into the music.
Yeah. Oh, they were digging it, man.
And so... You know, you can see a lot of guys, and you should have seen the young kids in front of like go getting loose, like in some of these sets. Like, you see a 15 or 16 year old kid, and he's out there skanking around, you know. And it's like, it's like, good, man. I'm glad somebody still digs it. That's young, you know.
Really.
And, because totally. They get so saturated with what they get.
It's because that music just makes you want to cry, man. You just go crazy.
That's
man.
We
you
always
that
like music.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's any one of us here that hasn't skated to that Agent Orange, Living in Darkness CD, cassette,
a million times.
You know, and you listen to the Germs, and you listen to all that stuff, and it's like it is part of the counterculture. And still to this day, it really is such a huge ingrainment of how they are together.
Yes.
They go hand in hand.
Yeah, we used to make some videos with a fucking camera, trying to replicate what we would see on video, with a boombox, listening to a Minor Threat, DK, fucking some old Primus, falling on our asses while we were fucking skating. But it was funner than shit. It's good stuff. So getting back to music, I know for me, I was born in the late 70s and. I came in a punk rock and stuff like that in the late 80s as a kid. But now that I'm much older, I find myself diving back into all the old shit now that I'm older and appreciate music a lot more. Because, growing up as a teenager, I was fucking stuck on, punk and thrash. But now that I'm older, I got anywhere from fucking Slayer to Rod Stewart in my collection. Oh, yeah. And at 19 years old, no way in hell I'd be fucking even contemplating going to a fucking Rod Stewart show. Right. But now that I'm much older, I'm like, fuck, dude, I get the guy. I get what he's saying, So
Russell,
I find
Phil
myself,
Collins.
Yeah, fucking Phil Collins, or whatever.
He's
a
great drummer, man.
Totally, yes. Totally.
Yeah. One of my guilty pleasures, I could listen to Jackson
he's
Brown
left-handed.
All day long.
Yeah.
Those songs are synonymous, not, Fast Times and all those, but the music is just insane, how it's all written.
Yeah,
like Don Henley.
And the fact that we can all name a lyric or name a lick, or go through it in our head right now, says a lot for how they wrote the music back then.
Yeah, totally. I'm stuck on The Animals right now. I've been playing that CD over and over and over and over and over, And sometimes, I'll wake up and be like, I want to listen to Tori Amos today. Fuck,
You talk about The Animals. I mean, think about, Eric Burdon wasn't one of those pretty boys when all that stuff was coming out.
Right.
He wasn't a looker, but he came out and they said, we're going to do this.
He
but
was
that
an
voice,
amazing singer.
Amazing. Yeah. And the music of those guys cut through all the stereotypes that were coming through at that time, and they just broke through. And to this day, we're still talking about them.
We're still talking about them.
You look at the Rolling Stones. They're still going at it.
Timeless.
They're in their 70s.
You see that video on Facebook of Mick Jagger dancing down the center.
Yeah, I just saw it.
I don't know how the hell
he's
old.
And I'm like, I can't do that now. I'm sore.
That's a lot of morphine after the show.
But you can obviously tell they love what they do.
Yes.
So that, and that's inspiration for anybody who's 18, 15, 40, 50, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. It reminds, and speaking of the Stones, it reminds me of that meme that was floating around on Facebook when all these, unfortunately, all these musicians were dying. There was a meme of Keith Richards that said, I bet you thought it was going to be me this year, and it's him fucking holding the cigarette. Because that fucker's going to live forever.
Tom Petty was a rough one, man.
Tom Petty
was a rough one.
Yeah,
it wasn't
unexpected.
That was I think we all got sideblinded with that one.
So what's next for Sloka?
What's next? We got December 15th here in Long Beach, at Deep Piazzas.
Yeah.
It's a benefit for the Shriners Children's Hospital. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's a bunch of other cats on the bill. Brian Coakley's doing a special thing, Corn Doggy Dog and Dead 96. And yeah, we're going to have fun, good time, raise some money for you know, a charity, which is something that my brother and I have done a lot, as much as we can. We've done tons of breast cancer benefits and food drives, punk rock food drives, heavy metal food drives, yeah. You know, veteran stuff. That's what's the next thing. And then next year, we've got a couple things in April booked, and we're looking at some more stuff.
Another skate show, right?
Yeah,
another skate show. We got a,
that'll be fun.
Another, another podcast radio station's doing a festival in San Diego in the beginning of April. And we're just looking at some more shows. I mean, the thing, you know, we did Agent Orange before at the Whiskey. We did Dickies last year with the Whiskey. I mean, this thing took a break, right? We was like, hey, we played it out. We did these, you know, regional tours. We played out albums, and it's okay, time a break. Brother has a birthday party. Fuck it, let's have all the bands play. Okay, let's do a Sloka reunion. We do it. Who knew anybody gave a shit? You know, it was like years later. And,
yeah, because I used to be the drummer. I was the original drummer for Sloka, and then, you know, we had that party.
Right.
It was like, I sang. I'm like, fuck, this is fun. I can just show up. I don't have to lug all this shit with me and, you know, and still get off. You know?
And it was just like, there was an interest. So we said, let's, you know, let's see what happens. So we started playing some shows, and we just put out the thing. You got a copy of it, the whatever, Sloka and Destroy.
Right.
10 yeah, years of tearing it up. And it was just kind of a, let's just put a compilation of all these crazy fucking songs, some studio stuff, some live shit, just because I have it. You know, I have it on the hard drive, you know, so like, put it out there, and if anybody cares, great. If not, you know, it's fun to me to go, check it out. This is what, you know, what we do, because it's there on the album.
Right on.
And the live stuff is, I mean, we record because it's part of the thing, you know, but playing live, I could play live all the time. Let's just go do that, because that's where the buzz is.
Mm-hmm.
Studio is fine to get it out so you can, what do you sound like? Yeah. Well, here. But playing out is, you know,
that's like a whole
nothing better than playing live.
Yeah. It all comes out on the stage.
I mean, you're on stage and you see people, and you bring us, if you can bring a smile to somebody's face, who maybe that guy had a completely garbage day, or they had a fight, or, you know, I had a rough week, you know, we all went to shows at as a young age to get that angst out.
Yeah,
right.
The pit's going.
And
then,
you know,
the pit. Agent Orange, the show we played with Agent Orange, there was a fucking pit.
That was the Dickies show.
It was a Dickies show? I forgot what, because the last Dickies had like too many old people there or something.
Right. because that's why I thought there was, you know, be more of a pit.
Okay.
But,
I thought it was Agent Orange had the pit.
Dickies before.
No, Agent Orange did have the pit.
Yeah, they did.
Because that was my first show that I played.
Okay. Right.
The Dickies show that also had a pit because I was in the pit.
Oh, right.
And I wasn't in the band.
It's always, you know, when you're playing this kind of music, we used to have a thing called the pitometer. It was kind of let you know if, you know, if it's working or not, you know, are people into it or not, because they're getting off and go. And in the past, when it was just me, him, and a bass player, three piece doing this shit, there was so many times I wanted to stop playing and jump in, but we can't do that.
See, now that's why I like it.
So then it's like now he's up there, he can go, you know, get all crazy with it. Because it's like when it's going, you want to jump in there, you know, it's like, come on. Yeah.
You know. Get yourself a drone musician, just hand it over and go in there.
Well, we just play with another guitar player. It might happen one of these days.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you go, man.
Hey, where's Tony? He's in the pit. He's his ass kicked.
Yeah. Speaking about shows, man, any memorable shows you guys had, man?
Oh, yeah.
As Sloka or just period?
Both. I mean, anything you remember, and then, you know, together with Sloka.
Well, one of my favorites was in Sloka, playing the Double Down in Las Vegas. And,
oh, nice.
You know, the place is packed. You know, it's not that big, but I mean, it was just packed and people just going off. And one of the I don't know, somebody came flying across the floor, you know, just sliding across and just, you know, smashed my bass drum. You know.
Bowling.
Dang. Yeah, bowling pins, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you say safe after that?
Yeah, right? Yeah, I mean, we just kept playing through, man. I just kind of rearranged the, you know.
Keep going.
That was a memorable one, definitely. Yeah. It's like we're fucking just, you know. Playing, I'll say,
whoa, what the hell was that?
Okay,
you guys see that?
It was like that Wedding Crashers. That scene where
it
was just like,
yeah. That's nice.
Yeah. I was like, whoa.
Did you guys get the guy's name?
Yeah.
For me, I'd have to say probably we used to have a house, a Victory House back in Chicago. And one of the first, we used to have shows in our basement. It was called Club Blitz.
Oh, nice.
And we had Integrity and Snapcase, Insight, and a band called Relapse. And it was, I think I was 15.
No shit.
That was the first inception of Integrity, and that's when you really see how it's supposed to be done. Mm-hmm. It's just like we had, 200 kids in the basement that held 50. No stage, on the floor. And we had many, many, many amazing shows there.
I wish we had basements here in California.
And let me tell you, I love playing clubs, but playing a house show when there's people crammed in there.
I can only imagine.
When I was in tour on with Outspoken, we played Leipzig, Germany. And we were on a headline run, and we played this.
We're outdoors, by the way.
Yeah. This is Rise Against.
We're at the Elf. This is Left Coast Lounge.
The Nature Edition.
So you're hearing that. Cars. And
our friends.
Fucking spiders.
Here's a spider.
Sorry. Our friend Sven had us play this little, soccer or football bar. And, we had some problems with the opening band. And we weren't sure whether or not we were going to play. And we played last minute, and there was probably 300 people in a bar that held about 40 kids on the bar, on the wall, and you play a set, and you just look at each other and go, this is what we're doing. This is exactly why we're here. Not because we're getting paid, not because we're losing money, because we're doing this for every 30-plus-year-old guy in here that's always wanted to see this that never got to see that band.
Right on.
So it's like, and I feel that way with these guys because, the music that they write gives me that energy back that I had when I was a kid. And it's more fun for me playing with the boys now than it ever has.
That's great.
So that's why I keep doing it.
A lot of wisdom for the music.
Fucking hats off to fucking Sloka.
Thank you, boys.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely.
You guys want to promote your website or anything you guys have? Facebook, Instagram?
Sloka Rocks at Instagram. Sloka Rocks on Facebook. Sloka and then Rocks or RA. And I think, what is Instagram? RAWKS? I don't remember.
That's right.
I mean, if you Google Sloka
Rocks. It's WKRP in Cincinnati.
That's right. Hey.
Or allyoucanmusic.com.
Well, that's kind of a floating
website. We're looking for that blonde secretary. But
you can that's go. The only reason to watch that show.
That oh, my goodness. Oh,
yeah. That was it.
Yeah, follow us on Facebook and Instagram, per se. And there's not like, this is the thing, the band was doing its thing and it had stuff going on and all those things, and it's kind of like we're just doing this. So there's some videos on YouTube, there's videos on our Facebook channel, our Facebook page, and you can check out what is it about. Well, you can go watch a video of what we play like and what we sound like live, and if you like it, cool, and if you don't, no big deal, right? Some people like blue, some people like green, and if you get off, come to a show or hit us up or whatever.
We're going to show up and rip it, though. So
when we
show up, you guys seen how it's going to go. And so we know that,
Right.
And not
in the ego way.
No. Between us all, like 15 or 20 minutes, before the show, we're all looking at each other going.
Is that confidence?
The performance speaks for itself.
It's kind of like, this is how I've been doing this, and this is not to sound crass. Is this PG-13 or whatever? I don't know.
Oh, no. Okay.
We talk about everything.
Okay, well, I just want to
say... You can say fuck, shit, cock, balls.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm a real mellow, peaceful person most of the time, and I strive for that most of my adult life, right? But when I go plug in, then I'm fucking everybody up the ass and fighting everybody. I'm giving everybody the love. I'm just everything's on. It's like a full blown turn it up to 11 inside so that this is my 30, 45 minutes to just go the freest place on the planet for me.
Oh, totally. Go big or go home.
Yeah. Right.
Go big or go home.
And then you put both of these guys on the stage right at one time and then be the bass player. it takes over. It's overwhelming. And these guys they start jumping around and running around and ripping, and it's hard to keep that adrenaline in check. It is. You burn out after four or five songs if you don't. These guys have been doing it forever, like this.
Yeah, I saw you up there, dude, and when there's that pause in guitars and it's just drums and bass, you guys are just carrying it, and it's going and it's flowing. Never losing its tempo. it's still on point, and it just fucking like, fuck yeah, man. Get the fuck out of my way. You want to just jump in there, So
Yeah, and then there's great. And then that's when you know, Chris steps up, you know, and then does his thing. And that's kind of the point, you know, when we slow it all down, then, you know, he can get out in front and really showcase him just by that. Himself, which is what I like to see. Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah, that you, part you of that
you,
part
you got
of that,
that jazz, that jazz solo element in the moment right there. Yeah. Rocking.
Right.
You know, and then it just that, you know, spontaneity that comes with doing things like that, right. You know, at a show, it just, right. It just, it's captivating. It keeps everybody involved and, you know, everybody like, fuck, man. And then once the guitars come back in, it just, it's fucking chaos again.
Yeah.
You know,
you want to leave everybody with a positive mental image of what we did, you know, because exactly. It's music. It's supposed to be fun. Yeah, there's time for seriousness, but you know what? When we're playing a show, you pay to see us. We're going to try to give you the best thing. Everything I have is left on there when I'm done.
Yeah.
Right on. You know? That's a must.
Just like Morrison said, right?
Right.
You know? Play your show like it's going to be the last.
I think I left right. I think I left my dignity and respect on that fucking stage at one point or another.
Well, so, you know, this is the other side.
Better
of
there
this.
Than other places.
Yeah.
Right. The first time I played in front of anybody was in the backyard of the house as a kid, 14 years old. My mom said, "Hey, bring your friends over and play." So we went, "Oh, okay," and plugged in and made some noise in the backyard.
Nice.
And I was hooked. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing for me. I'm still having that buzz at my age, you know, that I had as a kid when I, you know, playing in front of some people. It's like, okay, you know, and it could be five people or 500. It's all the same buzz for me. I'm just getting off, and if I'm with some cool cats like these guys, I mean, when we're on stage together, you know, there's times where shit, you don't know if it's going to fall off, roll over, or just plow through the shit, you know, and it's great because it's just a thing. Like the last time when we were playing the show, and we're playing, and I'm probably to go into this thing that's going to be an energy push, and all of a sudden,
ooh,
and yeah. His, there goes his, the bass drum.
His bass drum broke. Like, what the fuck? And he went over there and went... You know, start just sweet. Okay.
Yeah, I just played through all the way through it, you know, and and you know, there's been a couple other times, you know, that it's happened and you just play through it and you look back, you go, okay, that was another memory. You know, that's you know, we could talk about
well, you don't and want you're doing
a,
it right now.
You know.
But it's a buzz, you know. It's all part of a buzz. It's like nobody's going, you know. It's like fucking
see you need those stories that you're telling them.
You just don't want
that's the experience
at,
you
at 50, dude.
Yes.
I mean, that's the we meet, you know, me and Chris were, you know, I don't know if you know the story about, I mean, I've never been in a band until I was in this one.
No,
like
shit.
A real, like a, you know, a serious rock band that played gigs, like on the regular. Never have I ever done that before. Okay. Now, I played when I was younger and I stopped playing when I was about 30. Okay. I had my rig, had everything. I actually taught my son how to start playing when he was about 8 or 9.
Oh, shit.
On the same rig that I have that I'm playing on right now. That guitar is over 20 years old. But I'd never been in a band before ever. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. So the second week of January, I get this text from Chris and he's like, "Hey, man." He says, "What are you up to?" I'm like, "Oh, man, just hanging out." He's like, "Hey, you want to join the band?" I'm like, "Dude, you got the wrong guy, man. I've been playing for 20 years." He goes, "Oh, you know what? We need a bass player." And I'm like, I'm sitting there going, "No, man." I said, "You don't understand." He's like, "No, man, it'll be great." I'm like, "No, man, I haven't played in 20 years." And he's like, "No, I really want you to do it." And I'm sitting there going, "I got to fucking do this." Okay? So I hadn't played for 20 years.
Dude,
okay.
Fuck.
Sends me the songs that night. Starts sending me the songs that night. And what was it, about like 2 weeks later or something like that when I showed up here? And I hadn't played for 20 years.
So how was it after that first practice session?
I was shitting my pants, you know, because I had no idea. You
were 14 again.
And exactly. And we start playing, and I look up at Chris and Tony, and they're like, "Yeah, this is going to work." I'm like, "I was hoping that we're going to say that." But anyway, then it just went from there. And that's when we played the first whiskey show then. And I'd never played a place like that ever.
That's awesome.
Okay.
How'd you feel up on stage?
I was so overwhelmed with adrenaline. Because like I said, these guys, you don't know until you get to, I mean, when you get to the live show, okay, the adrenaline and the energy is, I mean, 100 times what you feel like on any regular day. You mean the stoke, the real, like, the
right.
Jet, you know?
Right.
And so I was so overwhelmed with the adrenaline, because it was going good. And the crowd is, you know, I mean, we got a pit going and we're ripping and stuff. And I'm just like, so much adrenaline that I pretty much blew it throughout, like, the sixth song. I had nothing left. I mean, I've got Kung Fu Grip, you know, and I'm trying to play, and I'm like, oh, my forearms are on fire. And we finally, Exactly. I'm just trying to hold it together, you know.
This is how Mick Jagger feels.
I'm completely out of gas, you know. And these guys are running around like they, you know, like they're 14 again, you know. And but it was the most amazing thing that I've ever done, you know, as far as a musician. I mean, I've been nobody actually.
So good choice.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a blast. I mean, I mean, now, granted, my son is a professional bass player. Okay, so I have bass music in my house like 24/7, and I'm a huge fan of bass playing, you know, I mean, bassist. So, you know, I got my rig out and I started playing, and I started feeling it, and I just knew, you know what, this is gonna go somewhere. It's gonna do something. Because when you hear the songs the first time, you're like, wow, these are written really good. You know, I mean, when I first heard them, I'm like, I want to play this stuff. You know, but yeah, I've never been in a band. This is the first band I've been in, and I'm 50.
Wow,
that's you know,
that's awesome.
So,
you know. Much respect to you, man. That takes a lot.
Well, you know, I mean, just playing with just the opportunity to play with these guys. Now, remember, I mean, I met Chris when I was in the seventh grade, total junior high school. It's like in Glendale, you know, because we all, you know, I was born and raised in Glendale, but but. Our crew
that
hung out with each
spider.
Other for a while. There it is.
Fucking spider.
There it is.
There's a couple for you.
hey, come here, dude. Oh, man.
Fucking
these
spider
are small
cats,
ones,
bro.
Dude. But
they
yeah.
sting more, too.
Yeah, yeah, but to play with, like, watching them play when I was a kid. So, I was watching Tony and Chris play when they were, Tony was probably 16. And Chris was probably 14, and you know when they were really playing a lot, and so now here we are, you know,
yeah, fucking shredding,
36, 37 years later from the time that we had met back in the day, and it's just yeah, so once I had to commit, I mean, I wouldn't have probably done it with anybody else, you know, if it wasn't for that first text.
Well, that's good, man, and it and your passion definitely comes through with your performances. And I'm telling you that demo that I got from you guys, that CD, that compilation, it just sounds great. Or the compilation, you know.
I have demos. I wouldn't give them to you.
They're on tapes. Hidden.
The compilation, it's just great. It's well recorded, and everything stands out really
sounds
well.
Nice,
so
man. Really nice.
Really good stuff. Thank you. Really good stuff.
Yeah, it was a trip when I was going through that, and we were talking about doing this, and I was going, okay, I'll go through the songs, and I'd throw them to him and say, which ones? And I'm listening to this live stuff that I haven't listened to in years. And I'm like, oh, my God, we played that fucking fast?
Right. I'm like, fuck, how am I sitting there playing it?
You know,
they keep talking about it. I get kind of scared, you know? I'm like, I don't even want to listen to it. You know?
It's trippy, but it was like, wow, what a trip, because it was like, oh, that was that show, and that was that show, and, you know, bringing some memories. I'm like, cool, and then... You know, I'm playing with these guys. It's just that we got that buzz.
Right.
You know, like, I ran into Colin. We were playing in a band we won't name. And not in any shape or form. And I said, hey, man, you want to do this? And he was like, let me get back into, you know, from
I wasn't
job.
Even in the country at the time. I travel a lot for my job. And I was in Toronto and up in Canada. And he's like, come on, man. And I'm like, you know, these knuckleheads here have that charisma. It's hard to say no to. So, you know, you do it and, you know, because I wasn't playing a lot. I was doing a lot of my work is pretty demanding. And you know what? I'm going to find time for this. And now it's like, not only do I want to find time, it's like one of those things that's like, now it's part of me. Right. It's like that, like we were talking about earlier, that living organism that's just kind of like part of it. And, you know, whatever it evolves to is cool. You know, and if we're having a good time doing it, if we write some stuff, awesome. If we play these songs, awesome. Whatever happens is just
it's that music in you. Yeah, just have to definitely do it.
Right on.
You know, you can never thank guys enough that, you know, when you do play and you start to get burned out a little bit, or you're doing things, then it's for the wrong reason, and then all of a sudden some guys come across and they go, oh, you know, we're gonna do this thing, and you think about it, and then you're driving home and you go, wow, that was a really an amazing couple hours. I want to do that again, and I want to do that again, and then shows happen, and then it's like, okay, you know what, you know, because I think a lot of bands are doing that now, because everybody at our age, their kids are 13, 14, 15 years old now,
or older, so you're starting
to see these guys, you know. There's a huge resurgence from Orange County up through the Bay Area, you know, There's a band called, you guys are familiar with, Blast, who are just absolutely, they're a NorCal, unbelievable, their new record. Ooh. You know, these, you know, they haven't put out records in 25, 28 years. Wow. And they come out and you watch them and he's like, whoa.
Wow. Yeah, we were just going to do a few shows here and there and a couple of one-offs. And, you know, when these guys joined on, it was like, you know, they were
full
totally
speed ahead.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, we love this. We want to keep doing it.
What did
like,
we do?
Yeah, all right, let's do it. You know?
So it has to be fun.
Yeah, yeah, and you show up, like, we show up to rehearsal, and it's like, okay, we'll rip off, like, 8 or 9 songs in, like, 35 minutes. I mean, it's like, bam, bam, and you go to the next song. You're not even, you know, you're ready to play that next song because it's that fun. It's not like you're stopped. You. Yeah, and you, and even just coming to rehearsals, just like, it's fun, you know, grip it.
No, it is punk rock, but everybody here that I'm standing with in my band approaches it in a professional manner in their own way. He prepares different, Tony prepares different, but when we get up there, everybody can look at each other and know what we need to do and have fun first and foremost, and that's what we do.
Any rituals you guys do before shows?
Stretch and warm up now for me.
Yeah.
A little
Bengay. Yeah.
I like definitely to eat sushi before I play.
Oh, nice. A little icy hot here and there.
Yeah, stretch and some kind of meditational time just to keep my head clear.
Yeah.
And a muscle relaxer afterwards because I'm gassed.
Right. Advil.
Backyard boogie.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. That's nice.
Say your name and what you play. What instrument you play.
Yeah, I'm Eric Hans. My friends know me as Sketch, and I'm the bass player.
I'm Colin. I play drums.
I'm Tony, and I play the guitar.
I'm Chris Lepree, Left Coast singer.
And who's the missing guy? You guys want one more? Or
no. That's another
story.
Story. Long story short.
Another quick minute here. Yeah.
We're playing this December 15th gig in Long Beach at Deep Yachts, and I'm like, you know, and these guys, Chris and Sketch, went to school in the same grade with Gahuli, John. Gahuli, yeah. I was with his older brother. Like, you know, we were, my brother and I were well known for being just, I don't know, whatever you want to think about for that time frame. Days of Confused, Fast Times, Rich and High, you know, we were just, we were those guys.
Had the hair.
Fucking Jesus. Okay, so anyways, I was like, hey, you know, we want to do a couple songs for this thing, you know, maybe do a song or two, jump up, because he's been playing, you know, and he's all gung-ho into it. So that's another one of those buzzes. Like, we just got together with him tonight, just to go over these 5 songs. He's going to come up and do on with us at this show.
Worked out really well, too.
And it was like, you know, great. And the thing, that's part of what he was saying and calling about how we approach it. He was like, I'll come over and work on these songs with me. I'm like, cool, come on over. I'll work on them with you. You know, I sent them to him. But, you know, I'm more than happy to help any of us get this thing to wherever we want to get it to, or where they want to get their own thing to. I've sat with Colin and going, you want to play this riff 15 times till you figure how you want to play the beat or whatever. You know, it's like my brother, I play the riff, so because he's not used to singing. He's used to playing behind the drums going, I don't do fucking shit, but do this, you know? So now he's up here, and he's like, I have a whole new respect for you, fucker.
Yeah, yeah. Remember the lyrics.
You gotta breathe, remember the lyrics.
Yeah, breathe.
Because like you said,
and move around.
Yeah, and move around
like a madman. Yeah.
You know, I've worked in a lot of clubs, and, you know, recently I worked at Chain Reaction for over 10 years doing all kinds of different stuff. And I think what gets taken for granted is actually knowing how to be a good band member. Mm-hmm. You know, people take that for granted. You know, everybody's having a crap day, we can discuss it, talk through it, you don't come in with a bad attitude, whatever is, you have to walk in the room and appreciate the other 3 guys or 4 guys that are there with you. And it's, I think that gets overlooked with a lot of bands, and it comes through, you know, when you talk to them on the street or talk to when they're playing live. It's like, you can tell the bands that just plug in, or this guy's not part of it. You can really see that.
Yeah,
yeah. It makes
a big difference, man.
We come across a lot of bands, and it's crazy to hear that after a show, everybody goes home in separate ways. Mm-hmm. You know, and they don't see each other until, you know,
the next show.
We're gonna hang out before
the week of the show, and then the same thing and repeat. You know, and it's like, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that camaraderie, you know, is good for it.
Another the quick thing about John is that, like, he came into the band. But have you ever seen that shot of Circle Jerks album where the kid's diving upside down? He's like completely upside down doing a stage dive. He's like probably 3 feet. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Okay, he's in that shot. So, yeah, John is in that shot. Him and two friends. But yeah, they're sitting there looking up at the guy while he's completely upside down. And that's him. Yeah. He was here. That's the guy. And that's the most iconic shot, you know, I mean, you know, in like punk rock history. Yeah, well, yeah, he's in that shot.
Were you in that shot with one of the cat, too? That somebody threw a fucking cat in the crowd?
John probably took the picture, though. Yeah,
yeah. Have you guys seen the one where there's a live shot? I'm not sure which band it was, but it's a big guy and he's looking down at his pedal, and they took a sandwich and put it where the pedal is. It's one of the best things I've ever seen in your entire life, man. It's
a sandwich.
So brilliant.
Oh, no, I'll tell you a good, sandwich story. I'll tell you a good sandwich story with Mike with Mike Muir. Okay. And so we're gonna go watch some bands down at this downtown gas company building. You know. Okay. So in the basement, they used to let the security used to rent out the rooms to punk bands to go in there and rehearse, right? So we go down there, you know, a car full of us go down there, and there's a bunch of hallways and stuff, and these bands are playing. And we're sitting there in the hallway, and here comes Mike, right? And he's just starting Suicidal, right, at the time. And he's walking down there, just like, hey, Mike, what's up? He's like, what's in the bag? He says, hey, man, it's my lunch, man. It's peanut butter and jelly sandwich. He's like holding his, here's punk rock Mike, you know, walking down all tough. We're like, hey, man, he's like, what's in the bag? You know, we thought the last thing he would say was going to be, you know, a peanut butter sandwich that his mom just made him, you know, like he would admit to that, you know, but yeah, that was,
I got my gun in here.
Yeah, you'd think that, oh, I have a big bag of weed. I got this
ounce in here.
Yeah, got a couple of beers and a, you know, bag of weed or something. No, it's a peanut butter sandwich, you know. But anyway, nice. That was a good one.
Oh yeah.
Sandwich on the on the pedal board. Oh, geez.
Oh, you're making me hungry with that shirt on, man. I'm from Chicago. I love pizza. Trust me.
Oh, I bet.
Well, for all you listeners out there, December 15th at D Piazza's in the LBC, Sloka will be performing there with our very good friend, Brian Coakley.
Yes.
It's going to be a hell of a show. See you all there. It's for a good cause. That's and we will be there, too, to support you guys.
Thank you, boys.
So, thank you so much.
Thanks for coming on, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for everything.
And until the next one.
I'll take my picture before we